The Kappa Jay Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Check out the ESPN Chicago Games, sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka at ESPNChicagoGames.com. Watch us compete against each other, share memories and laughs, all for charity. Tito's Handmade Vodka celebrates 25 years. Cheers to you, Chicago!
Kappa Jay Hood. Jay Hood.
Is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
What's up and welcome in to the Captain J Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000, streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Along with Cap, I'm Jay Hood. We got Shay, we got JR, and we've got you. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. Still to come on Cap and Jay Hood, we'll give you worst weekends. Yes, we know that today's Tuesday, but Monday was a Bears victory Monday. But we can tell you over the last 7-8 days what's been going on. Who had the worst weekend? You can vote at ESPN 1000 on Twitter for that coming up at 9:30. But Cap, we're still in the afterglow of the Bears and their victory against San Francisco. And two things that resonate the most, I think, from listeners, callers, fans of the Bears is the team making adjustments and also the team's execution and discipline. Those are the things that we continue to hear and read about the Bears and their victory is that you talk about adjustments, and it's something that we have pounded the pulpit about for years, right? From whatever your game plan is, based on the way the ebb and flow of the game is, you can always say, okay, I know this was not the game plan against this team, but there is some adjustments we can make to try to increase our chances to win. We saw this against San Francisco.
We did, because we saw a team that played inspired. Like Roquan Smith says, we knew we were going to win.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he truly knew he was going to win. I think he believed they had a chance. And Trey Lance, being a newbie at quarterback, he's the reason they lost the football game. That and the 12-3 penalty disparity.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. That's why the Bears won.
Roquan said in the press conference yesterday, we expected to win. You guys doubted us.
Personally, and I think I can speak for the guys in the locker room, we didn't see it as an upset. We expected to go in there and win. You know, maybe you guys or the other media and everyone else said, hey, this and that, but we didn't care too much about that. We knew we could beat those guys when we stepped out there on the field, and I made sure I let the guys knew that as well when we brought it up.
Well, I mean, if you're a player in that locker room and you've been busting your ass to try to maybe make the team or be a veteran, try to lead on this team, of course, you feel very strongly that you're going to win every game, especially the Bears. They hear what we hear about the Bears, not only locally but nationally. People are looking at this team as a reset, that you're resetting the organization. You got a new head coach. You got a new general manager. It's a new reimagined Chicago Bears team. And so they can understand. They're like, wait, they are counting us out. They don't think that we can win. Well, I mean, there are a lot more talented teams and talented rosters. It's up to the Bears to prove everybody wrong. If you need that as a chip on your shoulder to move forward as a football team, take it. Take whatever you need to motivate yourself.
Right. If they need us to doubt them, to motivate, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it takes. Look, I question their long-term viability because of the violent nature of the game and the lack of depth on the roster. And the GM has talked about it. We don't have enough depth here. That's why he's claiming guys all around the league. So if they can stay healthy, if they can get Justin to make a few of those miraculous, like he made two Mahomes-like plays, the one to Pettis.
Yeah.
But the underhanded, like, flip as he's going to get sacked to David Montgomery, and he ran for, I don't know, 12 yards. Those are two special plays that not every quarterback's going to make.
It shows you how the quarterback position has changed, though. If you have the athleticism to be able to make those plays, coaches today will allow you to do that. But all the coaches we grew up watching and the coaches we're around,
you're chained to the pocket.
Brother, if you don't look like, you know, Terry Bradshaw or look like, you know, some of the classic quarterbacks where it's a drop back passer, take your beating in the pocket. If you're not that guy, well, you couldn't play. And you just see how different it is now, where you could have a guy like Justin Fields rolling out of the pocket and like, I mean, I just got to get the ball out, no matter underhand, overhand, whatever it takes, sidearm.
Whatever it takes. Right? Patrick Mahomes revolutionized a lot of operating with your hair on fire.
Yeah.
He did. 100%.
So the other thing is about the fundamentals. And again, this is just based on one game. But I think you can feel it, can't you, Cap, when fans say, hey, man, especially our calls yesterday, man, I just think that the Bears, because they were disciplined, the fundamentals, everything seemed better. Again, that's just one game, but you can understand how a Bears fan has been frustrated over the last few years, where not only are you losing games because you don't have enough talent or your talent's underachieving, but you're beating yourselves. One of the things that really aggravated me the most, it irked me the most in the Bears era, is that they beat themselves. We've documented them before, the penalties, you're going backwards as a team, calling a timeout to call a timeout to call a timeout, all those things.
Did our
clock management.
Did our coach not look like Nathaniel Hackett last night? Our coach before Eberflus.
Yeah, Nagy, yeah. At times, yeah.
Matt Nagy and Nathaniel Hackett operated the same way.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a fact.
Yes.
Is that a fine?
No, that's just a fumble.
I knocked my coffee over. Thank you, Shay.
You okay?
Yeah, I was just getting a little fired up.
I see that.
That is just a fact. That's how Matt operated. Like, what are you doing? Take a timeout. Take a timeout to talk about should we challenge, then take a challenge and lose the challenge and lose another timeout.
Right.
We
right.
saw that.
And so the fundamentals of the game from the player standpoint was better also in the game against San Francisco. Eberflus talked about that yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, every first game when you look at, you know, let's just pull out tackling. You know, so when the guy tackles, you know, is he getting all the way up to the runner, okay, hitting him with the proper pad level, wrapping and running his feet three hard steps, you know, pulling in the hamstrings and then finishing the tackle. Well, we saw a couple of those yesterday, but we didn't see enough. There was some lunging going on. There were some things going on there. So we have to improve that. And that's typical of the first game. You know, it's like guys finishing blocks. You know, when you finish blocks on the backside, great example of that would have been EQ on the touchdown with Dante Pettis. He finished that block, came all the way across the field, and finished, and it was legal. You know, he did it a legal way, you know. So, and Dante set it up with a nice stem inside into the pylon. So, you know, just things like that. It's just fundamentals, details to that, and then we want to get better.
Details. What do you coaches talk about all the time?
Details.
It's the little things, right?
It's the little things. Mm-hmm. The little things. Lance Briggs was telling a great story that when Lovey got to Chicago, he said we had to run sprints. Mm-hmm. And if you didn't get all the way to the line, the whole team had to start over. So if Lance was an inch short of the line, everyone starts over. He goes, I got to the line, and I made sure I stepped on the line, and all of a sudden one of the assistants and Lovey were standing there go, nope, Briggs missed. Start again. I was on the line. Start again. And he said, from that point on, we all ran 8 yards past the line and pointed, made sure. I'm past the line. He said it was going the extra mile, and that was Lovey's point, picking up loose footballs. No shortcuts whatsoever.
Yeah. And so once you have a brand new team and you implement that into a new team, Cap, now that should go through the bloodstream of everybody knowing these are the principles for us to win. If you are not capable of hitting those milestones or the things that's part of the HITS principle,
correct,
then you are not really locked into the team and what we're trying to accomplish.
Correct. You're not locked in on everything I'm preaching here.
We talked about Dominic Robinson as well. The recognition and the athleticism of Dominic Robinson played with that hint of possibility of him being able to play in big games from a rookie, right? What a great story of a quarterback to a wide receiver to a guy that's just playing free and loose. I hope that that story works out. You know, when you're losing Khalil Mack and Khalil Mack and Akeem Hicks and some of the stalwarts that's been on this defensive line over the last few years, you got to find who's going to be the next guy. And so besides Robert Quinn, who's going to be able to get to the quarterback or play their position well? Hopefully this experiment is actually something that can be sustainable with Robinson.
I would hope. And again, he's a fifth-round pick. And he flashed like a star this weekend, a sack and a half. And when you heard him over the it was after the game on Sunday when he said Trent Williams, the all-pro left tackle, he kicks his foot twice when it's a pass play. He said, I saw that on film. And so when he saw him do it, he got off his off the ball just a little bit quicker because he knew it wasn't a drive block run play. Mm-hmm. He knew he was going back. Bam! Sack. And Robert Quinn said, what'd you see? He kicks his foot twice. He goes, I saw that too on tape. He goes, kid was watching film, working at it. It's the effort that it takes. The little things.
Just think about that, Cap. That was just his 16th game as a defensive end. Imagine with experience what that might look like. If he's telling you that tendency right there for someone who's only done the job less than 20 times.
Correct.
Says a lot, doesn't it?
He needs to not make that public.
Yeah. I know you don't like that.
No. What are you doing, man? Don't say anything.
Oh, man. I know you don't like that. But as much as I like the victory, Cap, what I look at is, first and foremost, the offense has to show more. I mean, just for Justin Fields to have 41.7% of his passes, just to be able to, that's not good enough. Not in this league. Completing 47% of his passes, that won't work. It was fine for him to make the plays that he did to help the Bears cause to win against what I believe is a playoff team in San Francisco. But again, you want to find out how good you are? Play the team that's been hammering your ass year after year in Green Bay. That's the measuring stick right there. How good are you? See, in Lambeau, now you're going to find out how good the Bears are.
We know what the stats say if you start 0-2. Yep. So Green Bay is going to be, like, ready.
Because
if they lose, they're like, oh, God, we're 0-2.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be a hell of a test, man.
Yeah.
Oh, if we come in here Monday, it's a victory Monday, would be amazing.
Absolutely. Because now you know, okay, now against one of the upper echelon teams in the NFC, we're able to win. Okay, so we beat San Francisco, beat Green Bay. Okay, what's next? With Houston? Houston's okay, with Lovie Smith? That tells you where you want to be. But ultimately, I just want to see the talent level. We know what Green Bay is. One thing about Aaron Rodgers, he's not Tom Brady. They're both great. But the one thing about Tom is one with less than. And he's able to raise a level of his receivers and his weapons. Aaron, there's a ceiling to the success for
so
the most
far.
Part.
Yeah. So far.
In his career, except the one championship.
So Dave Wannstedt's nephew is the trainer down in Tampa. He was telling us the other day that practices were fine. Tom wasn't there. He was gone for, I don't know, 11 days.
Mm-hmm.
He said, do you realize since he came back, not one ball has hit the ground? Not one!
Yeah.
He said he comes back in and every pass, guys are catching, guys are blocking a little crisper, and they went down and beat the crap out of Dallas.
So, Cap and I want to talk to you about the Bears. And again, the question is there something that you liked or something that you didn't like the way the Bears played on Sunday? We have a lot of people that are positive about the Bears win, but also some that say they got to work on some things. So we're going to take your phone calls coming up. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. We want to hear your thoughts on what you liked, what you didn't like about the Bears and how they can improve as we get ready for the Bears and the Packers. With David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you, you're listening to the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show.
Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and Jay Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bop. And listen to Cap and Jay Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and Jay Hood on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Cap and Jay Hood. Morning 7 to 10 here on ESPN 1000, streaming on the ESPN Chicago app, the same ESPN Chicago app in which you can get Crosstalk Unhinged with Carmen and Yurko on Waddle and Sylvie. It's available now on the ESPN Chicago app. The guys work blue, not the boys in blue, the guys work blue. Check it out, Crosstalk Unhinged, available now on the ESPN Chicago app.
It's wildly entertaining. I'm looking forward. Sylvie and I have got to chop it up on a podcast.
I would agree with that.
Like, we're in a good place.
Yep.
We need to just have a little podcast where we give our takes.
Well, you're in a good place because you work mornings and he works afternoons, so there's a separation there.
It's actually my neighbor.
It's fine, but are you going over there bringing him an apple pie cooling on the windowsill?
Yeah, I've actually been over by the crib.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You've been by there. Have you stopped in there to bring him apple pie?
I don't know if I brought pie, but I've brought other things there.
Okay.
Breakfast.
Sylvie opens the door and Cap throws the pie right in his face.
No. Sylvie and I are in a good place.
Uh-huh. So why don't you work with him then? How about that?
Because you're my partner and I love you.
Oh, no. Over to the side, though. As a side, I think it'd be wildly entertaining, you and Sylvie.
I'm all in, and I think so is Mark.
Let's do it.
Done.
I think it'll be interesting. Got to have a referee between you two, but I think it'll be fine.
Be fun. Count me in.
We're talking to you about the Bears, 312-332-3776. Something you like, something you didn't like, something that can carry over to week number two. Carmen Yurko will be on at 12 right after Greeny, followed by Waddle and Sylvie. It'll be Black and Abdallah at 6 right into White Sox baseball as they take on the Colorado Rockies from Guaranteed Rate Field. Again, it's a 6:30 pregame and a 7:10 first pitch right here on ESPN 1000. All right, let's go to the phone lines to talk to you, the Bears fan. We have got coming up at 9:35, Worst Weekends. Let's go first to Pastor Dave. He joins us here on Captain J Hood. Good morning, Pastor.
Gentlemen, hope you guys are doing blessed and doing well.
Yes. All is well, man. How are you?
Blessed and highly favored.
Good. So I haven't called in a while, but I've been listening, and I don't know if it was a week ago or a couple weeks ago. I think Justin Fields watching or listening to the show. He opened up his press conference, and it was almost exactly what you said. Like you said, I wish he'd just take a breath, smile at all the reporters, and say, hey, how are you doing? That's exactly how he started his press conference. And I also want to apologize. The rain was my fault. We had our two services on Sunday, and I just prayed, Lord, just open up the heavens for the Bears. But I didn't specify. I meant touchdowns, but he must have thought I meant something else. And so the rain came down. So I'll be a little bit more specific this Sunday, and I'll pray for touchdowns and not just unspecific opening up of the heavens. So.
Appreciate that.
Anyway.
The good Lord thought you were really specific when you talked about opening up the heavens.
Yeah, he stopped giving me exact scores because he said I was betting too much on him, so he took away I don't know the scores anymore, so I can't give you the scores. So he said I was gambling too much. So so I'll just keep it safe this time.
All right, my friend. We're glad you checked in. Appreciate your phone call. How about the honesty there?
Huh? Pretty good.
Actually, you could have been a man in the cloth if you could still. You can gamble and also do your deal there.
Well, yeah. There is no shot.
How about that?
I would not have been a man in the cloth.
Pastor Dave is involved with DraftKings or points bet?
Right. He has a logo right there.
Could you imagine?
You turn to your DraftKings Bible. Yes.
Could you imagine that? He's got Hawthorne race course. He's got all the mobile bets right there for you.
We read now from the Book of Parlays.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Before we turn to this psalm, play the 7 horse in the 8th race at Belmont.
I mean, what kind of racket you got going there, Pastor Dave?
Show.
Could you imagine that?
Pretty good.
312-332-3776 is our phone number. I love the honesty. Arlington Heights, here's Ken on ESPN 1000 as we
talk
Bears.
Ken?
Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, guys. You know, I really love listening to you two. And Jay, you made a comment. I have two comments I'd like to make.
Yes, sir.
Jay, you said a few minutes ago that, you know, Justin Fields has to step it up and he has to do better than a passer rating of was 44% or 47% completion, something sure. like that. And, you know, I don't mean to be sarcastic, but were you guys watching the same game as I was? I mean, they were playing in Lake Michigan. And I would think that the weather had a lot to do with a lot of what the Bears could have done but couldn't get done.
I would say that the statement still stands that the way how slowly the Bears played in the first half, for the conditions or for the ineptitude, I would say that there's still room for improvement. How is that not fair?
No, without a doubt. They started slow, and I think I was listening to some of the post-game interviews, and one or two of the players said that they were a little slow. It took a couple of hits, you know, to really get that, you know, first game, you know, hit from the other side. And then they kind of woke up.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I guess that happens, you know. But I really think, you know, I'm happy the Bears got the win. And I think a lot of great things happened. I'd like to see them use Cole Kmet a little bit more, a little bit more of the tight ends. But I the same thing, you know, I also think that San Francisco would have won that game if Jimmy G was playing. I think his experience, I think his accuracy, his arm, his record of 33-14. I, you know, this Trey Lance played what? one season in college.
Correct.
And I really think that I think they would have had a better shot with Jimmy.
I guess they feel, and we appreciate your call, Ken. Have a great week, buddy. They believe the early growing pains will pay off in more long-term success. They better be right because they left Justin on the board for us.
I think this is said for any organization, Cap, for any organization. Don't out-dumb the room. Do not out-dumb the room. You better be sure. I saw the same thing out there as far as two young quarterbacks trying to figure it out.
Correct.
I'm not going to paint Justin as some seasoned veteran out there that knows every intricate detail of the quarterback position, because he's not. And I'll say the same thing for Trey Lance. We're hoping that he can develop and butt into a young, upcoming quarterback where you could say, boy, that's the cornerstone of that franchise. It's hard to beat that guy. That team wins because of him. That offense is tremendous. I want to say that one day. I just can't say it today.
Can't say it today.
Is that fair to say?
That's fair, very fair.
So when Ken says, are we watching the same game? All I'm saying is I want to see an improving offense. What is wrong with – and then if you say, well, the rain stopped everything. The rain stopped the Bears from being great offensively. Don't know about that.
I mean, I'm sure the rain played a factor. It was
somewhat
awful, but it also slowed down the pass rush.
Yeah, somewhat.
Yeah.
Somewhat, but all I'm saying is I want to see an offense that is improving under Eberflus. It's fair?
Just, I want to see progress.
Chris is in Roseland on ESPN 1000 on Cap and Jay Hood. Good morning, Chris.
Hey, good morning, fellas.
What's going on?
Good. I was calling because, for me, when I watched the game, I feel like the Bears just outlasted the 49ers because of the way they handled the preseason games and playing guys for the whole first half, and they were able to have the hitch principle in practice the whole offseason, really going real hard. I didn't see any major adjustments at halftime, and I wonder if you guys could pick out something. Because for me, all I saw was just guys being in more shape because of how they handled the offseason than the 49ers. And I saw that across the league. A lot of teams that didn't play and didn't take preseason, you know, resting starters, came out slow, and that's what made all the upsets happen throughout the whole week. So if you guys could say some specific adjustments, because the only thing I saw was just guys being in better shape and being a little bit more callous built from the offseason.
Well, I think – let's address it.
Yeah, I think one of the adjustments that they made was moving Cole Kmet in line to become more of a blocker to help Braxton Jones against Nick Bosa.
Mm-hmm.
That was absolutely one of them. They also moved the pocket more. They had Justin absolutely rolling
out,
and
yeah,
able to look and at least not have pressure just coming up the middle and in his face all day long.
Mm-hmm.
Those were a few of the things that they did.
Yeah, that was clear in the second half. Now, again, you'll take the victory because – what you did in the first half, which bothered me, was running into the line. Yes, it was a driving rainstorm. I get that. I just didn't like 3rd and 5, 3rd and 6, 3rd and 7, just running into the line. I didn't like that. And the reason why is because we saw that under Nagy, under normal conditions. No rain, no snow. I just didn't like that. And you heard the fans booing, like, that's all you got? Give up plays? That's how it felt. But there was a difference, as you mentioned, in the second half. The idea that you saw Justin rolling out, he was able to find Pettis, and for him to be, he's got to have to do that, because if there's no one open, he's going to have to run.
Part of staying with the run is wearing a team down. It may look like you're not gaining a lot. You continue to pound away, and in the fourth quarter, who's the fresher football team?
Well, you hope it's the Bears.
That's what you hope.
Gonna do. How about that same game plan against Green Bay? Want to do that? When I just can't keep pounding the rock with Montgomery?
Minnesota was able to pound the rock effectively and then throw the football, obviously, to Justin Jefferson. We don't have a Justin Jefferson. We don't have a guy like that.
I just want him to spread the wealth. That's what I want. I mean, I don't mean abandon the run. I mean be able to have a balanced offense that he's comfortable with.
Just got to slow that rush down. Minnesota's rush is good, and Green Bay's got an excellent defense. They do.
We see you on hold. We get to your phone calls momentarily here on Cap and Jay Hood.
By the way, Sylvie tweeted at you. He wants to know, are you suggesting that he becomes at the Cap Man's side piece?
Never thought of it that way. Sure, Sylvie. Absolutely. We got worse weekends.
You couldn't keep up with me, Sylvie.
We got worse weekends right around the corner.
Stamina.
Danny's going to put money in your pocket in 1 minute on Cap and Jay Hood.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. All on Instagram at Cap J Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. Swept by the Pirates?
We can only ask or wonder that he is asking some departed relative for forgiveness for this atrocious performance.
Falling in an outhouse? Or maybe a dose of instant karma?
The evidence would lead me to believe that he did not break the plane before getting rid of the ball. And who knows what's going on inside that helmet?
It's time to find out who had the worst weekend on Cap and J-Hood.
It was a Bears victory Monday, so we didn't get to worst weekends. That's why we have it on Tuesdays. So it gives us an extra day, the extended weekend, the way we see it here on Cap and J-Hood. I'd like to remind you that Cap and I will be, first time ever, Rich Harvest Farms in Sugar Grove. First time for you?
No, I've been there. I played the course.
Really?
Yeah.
Will you play it tomorrow between 7 and 10?
I will not. I'll be with you, but I have been there. I've emceed events here. It's actually the home course for the Northern Illinois University golf teams, mm-hmm. men and women. It's a beautiful place. A guy named Jerry Rich, who I believe invented the stock ticker so that every time the ticker goes by, you see it all over the world.
Yeah.
He gets paid.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
And we have a special guest tomorrow.
Can't wait for that.
Little breaking news, Kaplan.
We are going to have Greg Norman on the show.
That is awesome. The Hall of Famer.
Yes. How cool is that?
The great Greg Norman.
The Shark.
The Shark's going to be on with us again, 7 to 10. We'll be broadcasting Rich Harvest Farms, part of the LIV Golf Tournament. Carmen and Yurko will be there as well from 10 to 12:30, all part of the mix here on Chicago's Home for Sports. Worst weekends. Here's Shay Norling. Shay?
All right. I want to get started with one Marcus Freeman, who, look, I had high hopes for.
Cut off the CB, for God's sake.
Holy Lord, is that loud.
Shut the...
Damn.
Wow. Roz, for God's sakes, we're doing a radio show in here.
That She's was not. Unbelievable.
She's not there.
I don't care.
There's nobody her, there. That thing's talking to a ghost.
It's her desk.
Wow.
Thank you, JR.
Appreciate you, JR. Anyway.
She's not there. I don't care. Shut it off.
I don't even think it was at her desk.
It was. Was it not?
Yeah, it was the phone on speaker, just blaring at top volume.
For God's sakes. What kind of radio is it? Could you imagine? I was blasting. Well, actually, we do in her space.
Yeah.
Actually, we do.
Every morning's breakfast. Are those idiotic sports guys here yet? Nope, but they're on their way soon.
That's right.
Take that, Ross.
Shut off your CB there.
All right.
You were saying.
Snoreboard, go
yeah,
ahead.
I wanted to start with Marcus Freeman, the head coach at Notre Dame. I had a lot of high hopes for this hire. I'm not a Notre Dame fan, but I thought this would work out great. Again, it's not about this season. It is about future seasons.
Yeah.
But boy, is it rough when you lose to Marshall at home to become the first Notre Dame coach ever to start 0-3.
That's 3-0. That's 0-3. You lost the bowl game in the first couple of games of the regular season.
Wow.
Cupboard bear in Notre Dame? Don't think so.
And they have talent.
Yeah.
I have some numbers for you as we're discussing this. My friend sent me this. He used to coach at Notre Dame. And he said...
Dan Devine?
No, Bob Kamel. He was the recruiting coordinator.
Okay.
Ara Parseghian had 13 years of experience before Notre Dame. He was once quoted, "I needed every second of that experience for the ND job, and even that was not enough." Lou Holtz, 16 years experience before Notre Dame. Dan Devine, 20 years. Brian Kelly, 20. As much as I like Marcus, no ND coach has been successful ever without previous head coaching experience except for one guy, Newt Rockne.
Okay. Here we go. Already trying to chase the brother out. He just got the job.
It's an overwhelming job.
I understand that. I thought you got a text from Lou. That Holtz was reaching out to you.
He wants the job.
It's a very difficult thing. But I'll take the job. I'm glad to take the job, Cap. I still got some irons in the fire. I'm sure that he'd want to take the job. Sure.
Let's do it.
Not so much in the NFL, but definitely in college, Lou. That didn't end very well for him, too. It was in South Carolina?
Yeah.
It was his last job?
That was it.
Oh, God. Yeah. It wasn't very good.
Didn't go well.
I don't want to be part of the political circle anymore. Let me tell. Now get back on the sidelines.
He can win 8 games.
He could.
I think so, too.
100%.
All right, Shay, what else do you have?
If you went to the Dolphins-Patriots game, I hope you didn't leave your car in the parking lot, because somebody also left an active grill in the parking lot that exploded and completely destroyed 8 cars.
You know, honest to God, Shay, I'm surprised this doesn't happen more often. I'm not saying it should. I'm just saying that because people can be careless, JR, you know what I'm saying? Like the little charcoal pit, the little black, you know, Weber, or having a propane scenario there. And I'm surprised it doesn't happen more often.
I probably check 3 times when I barbecue at night to make sure I turn the grill off, because it's in the backyard. You know, it's by the house.
Yeah.
I'm paranoid about that. Like that. Did I leave the grill on? I will get up in the middle of the night to go out in the backyard to look to make sure that it's not on. Like, yeah. So after a few drinks at a tailgate, yeah, absolutely. So
I came home after TV. My wife and our son was over for dinner, and he cooked on the grill. Do you know that I got into bed after I did my Cubs recap? I'm watching Monday Night Football games about the. Is the grill off outside? My wife's like, I'm sure Garrett turned it off.
Nope.
I said, you know what? I'm not sure. And I went back down in my shorts, no shoes, no shirt, no nothing. It was cold. It was drizzly. Went in the back. Yeah, it's gone. It's off. Just had to make sure.
Cap, you went out there naked?
I had shorts on. Boxers.
Oh, I was boxers.
Yeah.
Not Fruit of the Looms, not the, like the BBDs, the
no,
tiny whities.
No. Okay. I don't have any white underwear.
Okay.
I don't wear that. Okay. Everything's got to have a color or a pattern.
I see.
Thank you.
So, like, does it look like the Tennessee end zone? Do you have some orange and white? Do you have those?
I do have some orange.
Uh-huh.
I do. I wear those on Sundays for Bear games.
But
that's the truth.
Okay. You wear orange underwear to give good luck to the Bears.
Correct.
I see. Will you show those on NBC Sports Chicago?
Maybe.
I wouldn't surprise. Anything for ratings.
How many wins will it take for you to show your underwear on television?
Is there a big Chicago Bears C right on the crotch?
There's not.
And what's the C for? All right, Shay, what else do you have?
How about NFL kickers?
South Carolina
hoodie?
Fan.
Yeah, Gamecocks. How about NFL cookers? Kick cookers.
Wow.
Holy Lord.
You got
NFL kickers.
What, NFL, is it chefs?
Boy, oh boy.
Mike.
That, hey, it's a good thing I put the extra O in there. That could have been really bad.
Right,
NFL
make
kickers.
Make sure you keep firing on me because I mispronounced something when I was doing a read.
Don't worry.
Oh, just wait.
The Jaguars, Colts, Texans, Steelers, and Bengals each had a kicker miss a field goal in the early window.
From 55 yards away, Boswell. No good!
Awesome audio. Awesome audio.
It is.
Listen to that boom. We'll play it again. One more time, JR.
From 55 yards away, Boswell. No good!
It's so like this good. Thunderous boom of, like, doom, right?
The way the crowd goes down and then erupts as soon as you hear the doink is incredible.
That was a fantastic finish.
Bam.
For Pittsburgh and Cincinnati, a great game. Because I thought the game was over. And then for them to rally to come back to win that game, Pittsburgh, that was amazing.
Were we in the Oakland outfield? Go ahead, Shay.
Jeez, JR.
That's a fine.
I don't know if you saw this. This is the last candidate for worst weekends. Texas A&M has a traditional yelling practice for their 12th man.
Yes.
They had the cringiest wannabe stand-up comedian doing a bunch of jokes about Appalachian State. Listen to this.
I had to Google this team to make sure that they're even real.
Woo.
I was really confused because Appalachia is definitely not a state.
Woo.
But sure enough, I found them, and they're located deep, and I mean deep, in the backwoods. Just like you would think any hillbilly college that names themselves the Mountaineers.
And
Appalachian State beat their ass at home.
There you go. And the money. And the check, by the way.
Yes. Pay us our whatever. Would they give them $1 million? Come in here and get their head kicked. Oh, wait a minute.
This idiot. Right? And it's the midnight holler, right? Is that what they do at Texas A&M?
Yes, so, the yell practice, the midnight holler, yep.
Okay, so the midnight holler is something they got to do. And you know what, Cap, you already know, right? Saturday game, the night before, you do something to like a pep rally.
Yeah.
You stamp it and call it whatever you want to.
Correct.
Out there, it's the midnight holler. and you're going after Appalachian State, they're nobodies. They ain't nothing.
Rednecks.
There ain't no Appalachia on the map. They beat your ass. How about that?
And make sure our check clears the bank.
Ho! Sunbelt, doctor.
By the way, back to the buy deal. Awesome. You know Marshall got paid $1.2 million to go to Notre Dame and beat their ass.
So good.
Take that, Jock Collinsworth.
Wow.
Take that. How about that? Coming up, the Cap and J-Hood Cut of the Day on the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show. Stand by. I said JR.
Cap and J-Hood Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
I said JR. You see that, Cap? See how they're doing things over there?
If I could give a peek behind the glass, Shay actually spilled his coffee as well this morning, just like Cap. So, I mean, they are just step in step
today. Simpatico, baby.
That'd be simpatico, but whatever.
Nobody, talk about it, Cap.
Nobody can speak today. Nobody.
Right, but the only one they're going to highlight on the Chicago Cut Steakhouse Cut of the Day will be me calling it Marvell the first time I read it.
Well, so, I mean, now that you speak of it.
I didn't have my reading glasses on. No excuses. Yes, I effed it up.
But it's a sport.
I'll wear it. Whatever.
Cut it. It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut.
With exciting new premieres like Disney's Pinocchio, Pixar's Cars on the Road, Marvel's Thor.
Yo.
Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh.
Whatever.
Cut it.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut.
Favorite Marvels. Marvell Wynn, I think, is the obvious one.
Marvell Wynn is number one on the board for Family Feud. Here's Marvell Wynn. The old pirate.
Do the Marvelettes count?
Or Marvell is Marvin Hagler?
You no, guys maybe? Are...
That's a fine.
All right.
Come on in here.
I'll pay that one. Fine. I'll pay it.
Marvellous Marvin Hagler. Fine.
That should be a $2 fine.
BerniesBookBank.org. There you go. There you go.
Thank you.
Fine.
I pay my fines, Cap.
Oh!
He has no clue what he speaks of.
Oh, yes, he does.
No, he doesn't.
Yes. How about the $3? And don't put his money in your pocket.
I got to give it to Darren.
Yeah, I don't trust that at all.
He calls you a schemer, as Lou Holtz used to say. He would. You know what would happen,
there's
Cap?
There's Darren's money right there. 20.
Okay. Did you hand it to him? He was here yesterday. Did you hand it to him?
I gave him another 20 yesterday.
I don't believe that either.
Cool. So you lost 5 for the Marvell. So what are we down to, like 12 now?
Marvell. Cap, all I'm telling you is that you got to pay. It's not just for Darren. It's for the kids.
Exactly.
Don't you understand?
That's why I give Darren. By the way, I had a good day raising money yesterday. Okay. Good day.
Okay. How about paying the fines? Kids. You had a good day paying the fines?
Yeah.
Okay.
100%.
Okay. Don't think
100%.
So.
100%. I'd like to thank some of the fine people that stepped up in a huge way. Huge. Yeah. It was a big day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How about the fines, though? That's the whole problem. And you can raise all the money that you want, but if you're not paying and helping the process, that's no good. You think that if you raise money that covers your fines? It does not. That's a separate deal.
I got Keith upstairs texting me about all the stuff that's in our office.
Yeah, that's great. But you still got fines to pay.
And I'm like, I got a million. I'm trying to raise money here, Keith.
Mm-hmm. And then what did he say?
He didn't respond.
Because he's scared of you. He's a scared.
A scaredy cat.
Just like they said on the Stooges. I'm a scared, Mo.
That's it.
I'm a scared. Still comes on, by the way. Is Sven Gulli still running those Stooges shows, JR?
Rich Kaz?
Yeah. I don't know, but I'm always down for a good Stooges, for sure.
Oh, that's outstanding. Outstanding. My friends, we thank you for calling and for twitching on twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Thanks for keeping the conversation going. Cap and I will broadcast live from Rich Harvest Farms in Sugar Grove for the LIV Golf Tournament. Should be fun between 7 and 10.
What time is the limo picking you up?
I don't have a limo. I'm leaving now so I can get there from the city.
Yeah, join the club.
I'm leaving now. It's going to be a haul. But you know what? We're going to have fun as always. We got a special guest.
We have Greg Norman will be on the show at 8:45. Is that right?
That's correct.
8:45, Greg Norman, the Shark. cannot wait.
We'll get into some of the baseball with the White Sox and also college football and a look ahead to Meat and Cheese Week with the Bears and the Packers. Thank you, Shay. Thank you, JR. So long, everybody. From Chicago.